Hi, I'm Idris Ainde, and you're welcome to The Innovate Show. The Innovate Show empowers people to be the best in the areas of tech, marketing, and product development by bringing some of the brightest minds in the field and focusing on key ideas for achieving success. You're welcome to the first season, and the goal is to empower every listener into tech and help them become relevant to the space through 20 defining episodes. With no further introduction, let's jump straight in.
In this episode of The Innovate Show, I interview Abdulmateen Sani, who is a full-stack engineer with 6 years of experience, but according to him, he has been coding for his entire lifetime. I recently met Abdulmateen, and what really interested me about him was the fact that he was a medical student and also a full-stack engineer. I was really curious to know how someone could manage those two things. In this episode, we discussed how he started his journey in tech, how he was able to build his skills, some of the resources that he has used, and we also used the opportunity to talk about some underlying issues in tech, such as building experience, and he also talked about a very key issue that is affecting a lot of Nigerian youth, which is the NSAS campaign.
My name is Abdulmateen Sani. I'm a full-stack software engineer with about 6 years of experience. And at the same time, I'm a medical student. I'm in my fifth year at the moment.
Oh, wow.
So I've been a programmer first, then I became a medical student. So I worked on quite a couple of projects, ranging from the human resource management space to media space to the finance space. And I've been the lead for various projects, both on front end and back end.
That's awesome. So there's something about you that is very interesting about you, is the fact that you used to call yourself unconfused medical student. What does that mean? And like, can you give like more insight to that?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, by the time unconfused full stack programmer and medical student, even to people that's hearing this conversation, that are hearing this conversation right now, they would have been confused by my introduction already. how is he a medical student and a full stack software engineer? Even people that tend to be full stack software engineer alone can be tasking.
Yeah.
So that unconfused is just like a reaffirmation for people that sees my profile. So you know I'm truly not confused. So it's just a disclaimer. the descriptions you're about to see holds case title, which is unconfused.
Yeah.
So that's basically it.
I really like that title, and it's something about you that I really love. So my next question is like, I know I've asked you this question like when you meet first Kali, but I also want you to share it on this show. Is that like what inspired you into tech, and how did you start the journey?
Okay, the way I started the journey was from quite a young age, not as young as most people start operating computer these days. You know, then it was like this Windows XP. I was just a student. My dad got the desktop computer at home, and we were free to use it.
So, okay.
Mavis Beacon, you get bored with Mavis Beacon. Microsoft,
yeah.
Word, you get bored with Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
You try creating art with creating designs, paint, and
yeah, paint.
In the long run, you get bored. Like you've almost used all the software on the computer. You've gone into control panel, you change a lot of settings, crash the system, wanted it yourself. Yes, just like you've almost exhausted everything. So it's time to actually go and experience something further. So the experience changing software I opened was Microsoft Front Page. I don't know, most developers nowadays won't know what that is. Microsoft Front Page is just like the VS Code of nowadays, but then it had this graphical user interface where you can drag and drop links and stuff, and you can view the code. So I discovered that by mistake. Like I designed something, and when I clicked the code panel, I was seeing code. I changed something in the GUI, and I saw codes. I changed something in the code, and I saw that it's changed in the GUI. So this code is the GUI. So that went like that. Till just for the fact that I didn't want to stay at home when I finished my secondary school, I went to Federal College of Education, Oshiele. And okay. I intentionally chose integrated science, computer science, because I felt it was not going to be that difficult. Like I can flex while away from school. When I chose computer science, just so that my parents can get me a laptop. You get. But then part of the courses you do then was QBasic, and you had to pass, even though you chose it as flex, you had to pass. So QBasic, I found that I was actually good. Like I was a bit better than my peers. And like good creative stuff with as a programming language as simple as QBasic. And after the first year, went for COS and at F1 Web, where they taught us the introduction to Java, basically using Java console and all. So that was where I discovered that, okay, you can do something creative with this stuff. Then before I knew it, I was Googling stuff, reading PDFs, I was able to do GUI, and start hearing stuffs like, this is what we do to get contracts from the state government, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, wow, so this thing is actually going to make money in the long run. But that was not really the inspiration, it was just the feeling of you clicking something, creating something that someone can use. And the fun of you being, you know the image you have of actors are in movies, like you being able to work with like dark screens and stuff, like just looks like it was cool. Till I did my first project and brought some money, did the next project, more money, and I was like, okay, wow, this is it. I said, I can do it side by side with academic. So let's do it. What I wanted to become versus I know. So let's do it too.
Okay.
Now that is started.
Okay. So I actually even think, like, we're still going to go back to the part where you talked about, like, you doing your first project and you getting paid. Like, we're still going to go, like, I know it's, like, kind of, like, an odd topic for people coming into tech. People used to think about, like, the financial reward. We're still going to come back there later. But, like, the next question I want to ask now is, like, what were some of, like, the major challenges that you faced when you were just building your skills at that point, and how were you able to manage it?
Yeah, the major challenge then for me, which some people would still have now, I feel was access to the internet. Not that there was not access like that. Then one of the fastest speed you could get was like 50 kilobytes per second. Okay. That was it when you use this MTN Fastnet modem or when this other modem came along, Evdo modem or something like that. So one fastest speed you can get is really one of the slowest now. Like the fastest we could get then was Edge, you know, coming from GPRS, Edge.
That's crazy.
And this is as far back as 2013.
Wow.
It'll just be an experience for me alone, but I'm sure quite a couple of internet users at that point in time experienced the same. So YouTube was a no-no because even data was expensive. You know the way it was then. You need to also to get a salary of 200 naira.
As in, if you get it,
you can give 15 MB free.
If you have that, you're like a rich man, then if you can,
like,
even afford it.
Like I have 15 MB, so the best shot was save 215 naira, subscribe for MTN Night Plan, and download PDFs, like a lot of them. Then it was just a couple of reading, copying and pasting codes, practicing. Basically I practiced over years using PDF alone.
Wow.
What was YouTube? I could not afford YouTube. Only anyone could afford YouTube.
Wow.
Unless you can afford to go to cyber cafe, then like at least you buffer the video most half of your time at the cafe, or you still get something to watch, but it's not really going to be able, looking at the budget of what the 100 level students is going to have by 2013, 2014.
Wow.
So those are basically the challenge. And the other challenge too was as a result of the environment I was, I did not really see, there was not really a community. Like there's no Twitter like that. There's been Twitter, I know, Facebook, but it's not being leveraged on the way it is now. Like,
yeah.
Like I feel like I was the only programmer I knew at that point in time. Then I was another level. I knew a couple of students in general level, but you know the way it is for students studying computer science. Some of them may not be interested. Even most of them will not be interested in most cases unless that's actually changing. So I was able to meet like two of them, the NACOS president and one other student, I don't know his name now, we'll call him Finest then. So they were like kind of, role model to me. But NACOS president then was writing applications, Java applications for FUNAB. It was part of education, but writing applications for FUNAB. So I was like, wow, it's not really restricted to either you go to university or not. It's just about if you know it or not.
Yeah.
So he actually inspired me, actually fine-tuned my thoughts on computer science to know all this stuff. But this guy was not taught, like, the old slab was like QBZ, Fortran, COBOL, all those
old,
relevant stuff. Yeah, old, and he's writing Java. They were not really taught Java. So it's not about you learning the programming, it's just about you fine-tuning your mentality to, like, I can learn this, then start trading or get a tutor. So those are the challenges, not getting a mentor, internet access, but other than that, as long as you find it, there's really no other challenge apart from those two I've mentioned.
Okay. So I think, like, from all the challenges that you mentioned, like, I think the most critical thing that I learned was that, like, you need to show resilience, like, you need to be dogged. Yeah, like, you must show, you know, go agree. Let me just use that term, that you must not just give up. you must not just give up, like, despite the challenges.
That's still even a valid point till now, because, like, no matter what age, even if you are coming to learn coding in the next 10 years, you always see that frustrating
moment.
That frustrating moment where you have to fix bugs for hours and discover it was a missing semicolon or comma. So,
people can relate to it. I actually relate with it. Like, if it's that, like, finding out that it's just semicolon that was the problem, I relate with it, like, a lot. I was practicing some code recently, and I spent a whole day just to find out that I didn't add semicolon to my CSS file. It was just so crazy.
Crazy.
You messed up the whole stuff. So, like, thank you very much for answering that question. So the last one I want to talk about is, like, so I know, like, you've mentioned the challenges and how you were able to overcome them. What were some of the lessons, like, now that you spent, like, 6 years, and I'm very sure that even before that 6 years, you already have experience, like you mentioned, from your childhood. Like, what were some of those key lessons that you have been able to gather that has become, like, your core values and is what it's pushing you on?
Yeah, one of the key values that's still pushing me up till now, not just in coding, even through med school and life in general, is that just a simple quote: if you think you can, then you can. If you think you can't, you are right. At the end of the day, it just boils down to your mindset in the real sense. I can do this thing. That mentality of, I know I can do it, I can't just do it yet, gives you that advantage, that mind advantage, that, okay, I just need to learn one more thing, okay, I still can't do it. Okay, there's a missing concept, I need to probably go back to the basics, or pick more points, or advance myself, maybe I will understand it. You know, in coding, you need to cram some things at the beginning, right? There's always a need to cram some things. You don't understand what it does, you just cram, experiment, then you go back to the low abstraction level. Like for example, I started my core programming with Java. You see stuff like public, static, void, main, string, the args. Those static, the public, I never knew what it meant. But for you to run a Java program in the first instance, you need to have this main function that has this public, static, void, main, string, args. You need to have them. So you don't need to care about what it does. You just want to see hello world on your screen. When you see hello world, you try to tweak that hello world, try to do some calculations, create extra method, then you now start to understand what does the public mean, what does the static mean. So it's just about, I know I don't understand this thing yet, but I will still understand it. I just need to persist. It's all about persistence.
Okay.
You know, I definitely can. Those people that are doing it, at least they don't get too late. So
That's true. So thank you very much for answering that. I think I still have, like, just 4 more questions for you. So, like, if somebody is looking now to start, like, if someone wants to go into full-stack engineering now, like, what would you recommend that person to do, and how do you think that person can develop the skills?
First of all, what I ask people who come to me and says, I want to be a full-stack developer, or I want to be a developer.
Okay.
In the first instance, I'll go back to how I started. It started with interest. So I ask the person, what's your interest? Some of them will say anything that can just make me, I just want to create apps or something. Is it like you love using apps, you love creating apps, you love to create apps, or is it web? Because most of these things is, you want to learn coding. There are 2 things you learn, but you only learn one of them once. You learn the programming language and you learn programming. So if you want to learn Java, for example, you are learning programming language and you are learning programming. And you're learning Java. It's like a child that wants to speak his first language as an infant, you want to start speaking. You are learning two things. For example, in our side, you learn Yoruba, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing you learn is you learn speech, then you learn the language. You learn maybe Yoruba language or English language. You first learn speech alongside with the language. But when you want to learn a secondary language, you want to learn English or Arabic or Hausa, you're not more learning speech. You are just learning the language. So programming is just like that. You need to start with a comfortable, may not be comfortable, but at least should appear to be comfortable, something that you will not easily get frustrated with. So you learn programming from it, you learn that programming language. So I ask people, you want to learn how to create apps? Say yes. After app, what do you want to do? Person says, I want to create like a chat app. So I know probably person needs to eventually go into backend. And they want to see that they can achieve these things easily so that they won't get tired on the path. So I can suggest JavaScript. Create mobile apps, React Native, which is JavaScript, then the backend with Node.js. If you said, okay, just website, I just like website, blah, 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 I can suggest HTML, you move to CSS, then you move to PHP. So again, it's just a matter of interest. You find, nowadays you see people saying that AI.
Yeah.
If you say AI, I would most likely suggest Python for you. I won't suggest HTML, I'll suggest Python. But then I will tell you, if you want to go full start from this Python, well, Python is basically backend. The whole data science AI is mostly backend. But if you now want to accept inputs from user, you want to build, let's say, a movie recommendation system, I want to interface. Then after learning the Python, you need to now learn HTML, CSS. As a matter of fact, that you already knew Python, you just learn probably Django, build web systems alongside HTML, CSS. So it's about interest and how do I say, locality also. But PHP may be the best language, for example, in our side. If you are in the US, for example, PHP may not be the best.
So what do you mean?
In the finance space, you want to learn coding, I would most likely suggest ASP.NET for you because that's what is used the most pieces in that field.
Okay.
Yeah, so something like that.
So what do you mean by locality as being a choice?
Yeah, the thing is, in our region, for example, and India, I'm very sure because I've worked for Indians and I've maintained some of their codes before. Most of them use PHP. So if you're an Indian or if you plan to work in India or Nigeria, let me say hustler, so to speak, or freelancer, yeah, you get a lot of jobs by learning PHP, for example. But if you plan to, I'm a computer science student, probably I did my IT at First Bank, for example. I would like to further my career in building banking systems and stuff. I would just advise you to learn C#. Because in that field, let me use the field as a locality also. In that space, the most common platforms is using Java or C#. Though sounds like a legacy system, it sounds like it's outdated, but it's not. It's very relevant in those fields. If you're in US today and you say you want to build, let's say, movie streaming app or something, I won't advise you to start with PHP. I will tell you to go start with something like Python or even use Go, which is relatively newer and it's faster, almost 10 times faster than PHP.
So I think one key thing that you mentioned is like, if you're looking to like build a skill, you need to know like what you want to use that skill for. Like now, so you can just learn the language that is relevant for that industry that you just want to go into.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much. I also thank you for clarifying what you mean by locality.
Locality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next question is when you were starting out, what were some of the major resources? You talked about PDF. What PDF? Where do you used to go and download this PDF? Where do you used to access all this pool of knowledge that you were using to build your skills?
Google.com.
I understand.
Basically, just go here and type. For example, it starts with layman terms like how to build a website tutorial. Then you start fine tuning from those tutorials that you read, those first results that comes up on how to build a website. You will see stuff like you learn HTML, blah blah blah. So your next Google search is going to be HTML tutorial.
Okay.
So you figure out, I have tag, HTML tag, you see stuff like even all tag. If that doesn't kick a meaning immediately, you go online and search again. Differences between even and all tag, just stuff like that. Like you just you start from vague, I have no idea kind of topic, then Google guides you. When you get to CSS, you see stuff like padding, you see margin, you see border. For you to understand what is the difference between padding and margin, for example, why am I applying a border and it's not considering my margin, but it's just taking the padding into consideration. You want to know why, I just Google border, comma, margin, comma, padding in CSS, just keywords that just bring this stuff out. And along the line, you discover there are places, there are questions like that, where you have answers already that you can copy and paste and expose. What is Stack Overflow? So 5 out of 9 times, or let's say 50% of the time, you'll be searching. You see someone that already had that problem that has been solved. Or at least you see somebody with that problem that has an idea. Or probably somebody that put in a problem and comes back and says, I don't know who this might help. This is how I eventually solved it. So you can read from those questions and answers also and learn. So it's basically through it's the greatest library. Internet is the greatest library. It's basically all you need. Just a tutor.
So I think coming from you, the best resource you can ever have is just google.com. Just find what you are looking for there. You also even talked about Stack Overflow also helping people too. And I recently used Stack Overflow to like solve some problems, and I think that's also like a great resource for people who want to go into like I think web development most especially.
Programming fields in general. Just that Google kind of tell us the result to for example, like I was telling someone, if I'm a zoologist, for example.
Okay.
And I search for Python on Google, the result I will get is going to be different from if I program and search for Python, because Google understands this user is in this field or not. So if you go to Stack Overflow, for example, you see results of Stack Overflow on Google, it's most likely going to be tailored to what your previous searches has been based on. So it's not web development alone, most likely for any field, data science, just name it, as long as it's programming.
That's very interesting. Okay, so I'm going to come back to this this question, which is like a lot of people, I think when you are starting out, I know that you need to work on projects to build experience, but when it comes to this financial return, like what do you have to say about it? Because I know like in web development space, I know people that started their first project at 10,000 naira, which to me, it's quite interesting. And like, I know people that they still get paid, even here in Nigeria, 40k per month. Like, what can you say? What can you talk about, like building experience and then seeking financial rewards?
Yeah, the hard truth is, you need to pick one from both of those two, seeking the financial returns and getting experience. Most cases, especially when you are starting. But you can sacrifice one for the other. If you sacrifice, okay, I may not be paid well, I want to get the experience, it's better. But if you say I want to be paid and I don't want the experience, it's not possible. So at the end of the day, we come down with no choice than to actually sacrifice that financial return. For my first project, I charged 15,000 naira. And it was supposed to be a very simple project. It was just a catalog for farm produce, where you just put pictures of cassava, you put what's the quantity we have, what location do we have, put pictures of plantain and stuff. Took me 3 months to build.
Wow.
Something I would use just a couple of days for now. Took me about 3 months to build then. And it was like a family friend. It was my uncle's project. Out of that 15,000, about 8,000 naira went to purchasing the domain. So remains just about 7,000. But then I saw it as you paying me to learn something I will learn eventually. Because either you paid me or not, I was going to learn how to create all those stuff. That's what you find on people's GitHub as like personal project and stuff. They were still going to do those projects with or without the pay. So just let me take the money as a tip and I'll do the project and I'll learn along the line. The only thing is I realized earlier is I knew I was going to be able to do this stuff eventually, but I can't do it at that moment. So I stayed a very long timeline to complete. I got then when I started. So for example, I know for someone that is good, this should just be a month or two. I might tell you 5 months. And because you don't even have enough money in the first place to pay a professional to do, so you want to pay less, it's going to be a longer
period.
I learn along the line. So eventually after finishing your project, the next person that comes with this project, I can charge more because I know I can do it for lesser time and I have put copy and paste from and I've probably improved on the way I wrote the previous code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it just keep getting better and better. That's just the summary.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is going to be my last question. If you had the opportunity to travel back in time, what advice would you give your younger self who wants to build like skills in tech? Yes, and give your younger self an advice.
Yeah, the advice I would give my younger self is to actually try to network as much as possible. The earlier the better. Like one of the disadvantages on my part was I basically learned programming alone. At least I've been coding for 2-3 years before I met about 5 developers.
Wow.
Those years. Wow. Like I can meet a developer by year. Because Aztec is mostly mobile, and the environment I was like because after studying, I mentioned I was studying integrated science, computer science. I left after the first year, and I was in a college of health. So that environment I was does not really have a lot of programmers like that. You get, although there are incubators nearby, you have CCO nearby, but that was later on before I started going to places like that. So I did not really know those of developers. That of developers did not really know me. So I was not able to get, I was not so inclusive in the community. No job reference. I'm busy, but I know a guy who can do this, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I get contacted. Those stuff did not really happen on time. And to validate my point, one of the things that happened recently was during those times, one of those 5 developers I met in those 3 years, because I had all the time to code alone, I was getting better. Geometrically. So I met this guy at Leadpath at Alago Midi in Java, and we had a conversation then, saw some of the designs I've done, HTML, CSS, basically then, and we engaged, told me as this smart guy, and so a couple of months back, the guy just found me via a WhatsApp group. He said, he remembered we had a conversation, he tried to introduce himself. I said, I thought you were this. He said, no, his name is Rush and stuff. Remember that was good then and blah blah blah. There's a project he wants me to come on.
Wow.
And this is a guy I've not seen in 5 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
That project is one of the biggest projects I've ever got. One of the biggest single projects I've ever got.
Wow.
So just that networking that happened about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Paid off later. So I didn't have made such connections like that, probably hundreds of them. So it would have been a better present. So the single advice, what I felt I did not do enough was to network.
Okay, thank you very much. I have like one of my role model, he used to talk about the, like if you are going into tech, you just don't want to go alone with like building technical skills. Like technical skills are good, like they can sharpen you, get you like, just ensure that you know what you are doing. But like soft skills are what is going to push you higher, because you have networking, you can relate with people. Soft skills just makes you like very better. So I think like that's also something that is very important.
Yeah, very, very important.
Okay. So there's something I wanted to ask you, but like I was skipping it, that should I ask you or not? Because I know you are also like, I know where you work. You don't like you work like you are a remote developer. Like I know you work with companies, but like you work remotely.
Yeah.
So like we understand like this. We understand the situation of what is going on, like for the past 5 days now with the whole NSAS and police brutality. I want to know what's your take on it, because I know I've met you before. I know that you work remotely. I know the way you dress. I know the way you move around. And I don't know if you've had experience with all these people and like what you can just say about the whole movement.
Yeah, I've not directly had experience with them, but I have friends that have been harassed by it. They should really be ended.
Hmm.
The South should really be ended. one of my friends who worked for Lagos State COVID response team, who has a he has an NGO in the education space, like mentoring young children in primary, secondary school and all, was stopped. He and his friend was stopped. He said they are Yahoo boys. Okay. Unlock your phone. They unlocked the phone. They started looking for Hangout. They saw Hangout on one of his friends' phone. They said, this is a fraudulent app. For God's sake. That is a fraudulent app. He said, open your email. He saw the guy had two emails. The guy had an email that showed the power you are burning. The other one showed Benny and Rashi. He said, you Yahoo boy. why will you use two different names for email and stuff? And the guy was like, the other guy, my friend, was saying, this is my student ID card. This is my national ID card. This is my voter's ID card. This is my COVID response team ID card.
Wow.
The guy said, doctor, save the do Yahoo. That is one of his concerns. And I was saying, I don't want to even show you a police officer because you don't want to act like a police officer. I said, well, like, even if I don't be police, you go follow me.
Wow.
You get such unprofessional, I feel they should be ended. Those people saying reform SARS, that's not the solution. End SARS, then reform police. End SARS, then reform police. That's my view on it.
Okay, now thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. I think I even took more than 30 minutes or so, but I really appreciate it, and I believe that people can also learn from all that you've said.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. I really appreciate you for your call. I'm going to end.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate.
So there you have it. I do hope you enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for the next one. Remember, the goal of the show is to empower you into tech and help you stay relevant in it. We're definitely going to continue the conversation on our Instagram page at The Innovate Show, so you can follow up there. Please do leave a review for the show and make sure to share to everyone. For more information on how you can participate on the show, send an email to innovateshow@gmail.com. Thanks once more for listening, and remember, education is the path to a sustainable life.